Did you have a sexual relationship with Donald Trump?
This is the celebrity news show Inside Edition from January 25th, 2018. Adult film star Stormy Daniels is giving her first interview since the Wall Street Journal broke the story that 12 years prior, she had slept with Donald Trump. And during the 2016 presidential election, she accepted a payment from his lawyer to keep silent about it.
Since the scandal broke, Stormy's name has been everywhere.
Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels.
It was around the one-year mark of then-President Donald Trump's presidency. She was making the rounds in the media, but technically not answering many questions.
You said that Donald Trump was chasing you around the hotel room in his tighty-whities. Did that happen? There are reports you've been paid $130,000 to be quiet. Have you been paid to keep quiet? Have you signed a non-disclosure agreement?
If Daniels was paid to keep quiet, she was technically honoring that agreement.
You're looking at me like you can't talk. I'm taking this that you can't say anything. Is that accurate? I'm taking that as a yes.
You're so pretty.
But 2 months later, she spoke to Anderson Cooper on 60 Minutes.
For sitting here talking to me today, you could be fined $1 million. I mean, aren't you taking a big risk?
I am.
I guess I'm not 100% sure on why you're doing this.
Because it was very important to me to be able to defend myself.
According to Daniels, she met Trump at a celebrity golf tournament in 2006. She said he invited her to his hotel room, talked up the possibility of casting her on his NBC reality show, and then he undressed.
It was sort of, I had it coming for making a bad decision for going to someone's room alone. And I just heard the voice and I said, well, you put yourself in a bad situation and bad things happen. So you deserve this.
When Anderson asked if she had sex with him, she said yes. This was potentially more than just a political sex scandal. The payment may have violated campaign finance laws. If it was a campaign contribution of any kind, even if it was just meant to help him win the election without coming from the campaign's bank account, it had to be disclosed in campaign filings. When the story broke, Daniels was 38 and lived discreetly in a Dallas suburb with her husband and 7-year-old daughter. Once a month, she went to California to direct adult movies. Neighbors and acquaintances from their favorite pastime of horseback riding reportedly didn't know what she did for a living. This is from Inside Edition.
I've been out of the spotlight for a while now. I've really moved mostly to behind the camera, focusing on directing. And I moved out of California, focusing on my hobbies and my family. And I was very incognito. And then I wake up one morning and there's, you know, news trucks and reporters outside of my house.
In a profile in the New York Times, published soon after, colleagues described Daniels, whose legal name is Stephanie Clifford, as serious and competitive. As a director, she fired people for messing up scenes. She once demanded a new performer change his porn name because it was too dumb for the credits of her movie. When streaming sites were driving down the profits from porn, creating short and cheap-looking clips, she took pride in making old-school XXX movies with plots and expensive sets and costumes. The profile stated, "For most of her professional life, Ms. Clifford has been a woman in control of her own narrative, in a field where that can be uncommon." The publicity from her alleged one sexual encounter with Donald Trump pushed Daniels into a sea of stories in the media, memes and jokes on late-night talk shows, and even a plethora of legal issues. By the end of the saga, Trump's lawyer and hers would both be given time behind bars, and Trump himself would be facing his own indictment. Given the current news cycle as of this recording about former President Donald Trump being indicted, we figured we would go back to where it all began, including with a trio of civil lawsuits involving Stormy Daniels and Donald Trump. This is Jillian, and that's today in this episode of Civil.
Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $700 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days per year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 29 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $698 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Part 1. Stormy's Story. Stormy Daniels was born Stephanie Gregory on March 17, 1979, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. In interviews, she has described herself as the lonely latchkey daughter of a single mom. Here she is in 2022 on Vlad TV, a YouTube channel that specializes in lengthy interviews.
She was working, obviously, quite a bit to pay bills and stuff, and a second job, and then I think she just kind of started doing her own thing a lot, and she just would go away and would be gone for longer and longer periods of time.
She said she got straight A's and took respite in horseback riding. She cleaned stables to pay for her own horse. By age 17, she said conflicts with her mother became too much, and she moved out.
And I moved out, and I didn't want to drop out of school. I really wanted to be a veterinarian. I didn't want to sell my horse. And I happened to get lucky and meet a girl who was a stripper. And she made enough money on Fridays and Saturdays to cover bills until I could leave town, I guess.
She moved up through higher paying clubs. There she met feature dancers who traveled from club to club, getting title billing for a few nights, like stand-up comedians. They wore burlesque costumes, came on stage to smoke machine effects, and didn't have to give lap dances for tips. She transitioned to feature dancing herself.
And so I did all of those, and I traveled and feature danced for about 2.5 years, but I topped out on rate. You can only make so much unless you actually are a porn star. And I had a friend who was also a feature dancer that was older than me and was coming to LA to do a movie, and she didn't want to come by herself. And she's like, I'll pay for you to come with me if you want.
On a set, she caught the eye of a director for Wicked Pictures.
And long story short, 5 or 6 days later, she flew home and I never left. And I am still with Wicked Pictures.
Revenue for the pornography industry is almost impossible to track. But by every indication, the early 2000s were a boom time. Cable pay-per-view and the internet provided perfect distribution channels, discreet and accessible, regardless of local opinions about porn. DVDs were moving briskly. According to the Los Angeles Times, one of the leading websites, Adult DVD Empire, sold about 30,000 a year for as much as $30 a piece. Some companies, like Wicked Pictures, practiced brand awareness. Wicked signed performers to exclusive contracts, and then tried to expand their visibility in the field. Wicked had helped make Jenna Jameson the biggest porn star ever. Daniels, who won Best New Starlet at the AVN Awards, sometimes referred to as the Oscars of porn, in 2004, became their next power performer.
But I never saw abuse or drugs or partying, you know, and it was way more professional than I thought. I make the joke all the time, so much more paperwork than you would think. But it was professional with shoot schedules and testing and respect. And, you know, it was great. And that was before the tube site. So we had pretty big budget features. We used to have good catering.
Pornography was so close to the mainstream that companies began sponsoring glitzy events like the American Century Championship, the charity's celebrity golf tournament held each year in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. This is where Daniels met Donald Trump in 2006.
And somehow, which I don't know how it came to be, the company I work for, Wicked Pictures, sponsored a hole. And trust me, I...
Sponsored a hole.
I appreciate the irony and the humor and the fact that a porn company sponsored a hole. Like, it is, that is not lost on me at all.
For Daniels, it was a normal day, mingling with retired sports stars and actors.
But there was a gift room, and same thing, the celebrities came through and got gift bags from the sponsors and all that stuff. And Donald Trump came through and got pictures with the girls and talked to me again. Definitely, you could tell he favored me, but I didn't care.
Trump was then best known for The Apprentice, an NBC reality show where, every week, he judged eager young professionals who competed in business tasks, giving one of them his trademark send-off, "You're fired." Despite her self-professed disinterest, Daniel said she accepted an invitation to have dinner with him. They met up in his hotel room. He was in pajamas. She said they talked for 3 hours.
Even it pains me to this day to even admit this, but it was a pretty decent conversation, to be honest. He asked business questions like, is there unions and do you get royalty?
NBC was readying a new version of The Apprentice, The Celebrity Apprentice. It was the same game, but with B-list celebrities competing. She said Trump told her she should be a contestant.
He's like, I get a wild card every season where I get to pick someone of my choice and it can't be vetoed. If I fight for this, would you be willing to be that wild card? And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. And he's like, no, you don't understand. He's like, it would be so scandalous. He's like, he was all about like PR stunts at the time. It was around the time he was going to shave his head, which he was never going to do. We know that. When he was doing the thing with Vince McMahon, and that's, you know, kind of was his whole shtick back then, was just to do these outrageous cameos and things for PR stunts.
Daniels has spoken extensively about what happened next, about her lack of attraction to Trump, about his performance and anatomy. The most relevant facts are that she said they had sex. She has said she was reluctant, but that it was consensual. Trump has denied any physical relationship with her. Daniels said that Trump called her frequently, and they met up a few times, but never had sex again. She said he continued to dangle the celebrity apprentice in front of her. This was allegedly no secret in porn circles.
There was a solid almost a year where he called at least twice a week, and he had this uncanny knack of calling me whenever I was in the makeup chair on set. And I can tell you right now, at least 100 people overheard those phone calls because I put him on speakerphone.
Daniels said she and Trump eventually fell out of contact. And oddly enough, she got into politics before he did. After Louisiana Senator David Vitter was exposed as a client of the D.C. madam, Deborah Jean Pelfrey, fans organized a draft Stormy movement. In 2009, she briefly, publicly considered running against Vitter. In 2011, the gossip website The Dirty made a post inferring it had juicy information about Trump and an extramarital affair. Someone in the comments section named Daniels. She refused to comment to reporters, hoping the story would die. Then someone spilled the whole story to In Touch Weekly. Daniel said the supermarket tabloid offered her $10,000 to tell it herself.
They kept pushing me, and one reporter from In Touch made the point, we're going to run the story with or without you. This is your chance to at least make sure that it's accurate and to get something for it. Otherwise, this person who kind of did you dirty is going to get the credit and the money. And I was like, okay, fine.
But the story was never published. Michael Cohen, Trump's attorney, threatened In Touch with legal action. He also pushed The Dirty to take down the post. Michael Cohen had risen through the ranks of Trump's circle, and according to him, one of his primary responsibilities was intimidating news organizations. This is him on the phone with a reporter for The Daily Beast in 2015. The website had uncovered a deposition in which Trump's first wife, Ivana, had described an encounter with Trump as rape. Ivana later said the story was without merit.
Mark my words for it. I will make sure that you and I meet one day while we're in the courthouse. And I will take you for every penny you still don't have. And I will come after you, Daily Beast, and everybody else that you possibly know. Do not even think about going to where I know you're planning on going. And that's my warning for today.
Cohen seemed to take pride in viciousness. In an ABC News profile, he said, if somebody does something Mr. Trump doesn't like, I do everything in my power to resolve it to Mr. Trump's benefit. If you do something wrong, I'm going to come at you, grab you by the neck, and I'm not going to let you go until I'm finished. Daniels contacted In Touch a few times to check on the status of her story. She said that, around this time, a man threatened her. This is from her 60 Minutes interview.
I was in a parking lot going to a fitness class with my infant daughter. I was taking, you know, the seats facing backwards in the back seat, diaper bag, you know, getting all the stuff out. And a guy walked up on me and said to me, leave Trump alone, forget the story. And then he leaned around and looked at my daughter and said, it's a beautiful little girl. It'd be a shame if something happened to her mom. And then he was gone.
She didn't report the incident to the police. In recent interviews, she said she's not sure who he was or who sent him. According to Daniels, Trump didn't factor into her life again until the fall of 2016. On October 7th, 2016, 1 month before Election Day, the Washington Post published the infamous Access Hollywood tape, where Trump can be heard saying, I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. I just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything. And then, of course, the infamous line, grab him by the pussy. The next day, as his campaign scrambled to keep the support of prominent Republicans, Trump put in a call to Michael Cohen. Though he wasn't part of the campaign, Cohen took part in a crossfire of messages with Trump, his campaign spokesperson, and executives at the National Enquirer, a tabloid that had helped Trump bury stories in the past. An FBI agent investigating Cohen later wrote that at least some of these communications concerned the need to prevent Clifford from going public, particularly in the wake of the Access Hollywood story. Clifford, also known as Stormy Daniels, was on the set of a porn shoot when she received a call from Wicked Pictures' public relations representative, insisting that she stop everything and meet with an attorney, Keith Davidson. That PR representative instructed her not to call or text back. There should be no record of what happened next. Keith Davidson had a rather odd niche. He was known in Hollywood circles as the guy who you end up negotiating with if your private sex tape leaks. He represented individuals distributing tapes of Paris Hilton, Tila Tequila, and Hulk Hogan. In some cases, it wasn't clear to the people taped who exactly Davidson represented. This is how he put it to CNN.
I get involved when a situation or a relationship has gone bad.
Daniel said she had never met Davidson before. But in 2011, her manager had hired him to push the dirty to remove those posts. This is apparently how he first crossed paths with Michael Cohen. To CNN, Davidson recalled a lot of chest pounding from Cohen on the phone. To the best of my recollection, it was a lot of, you know, how dare you, and, you know, we'll chase you to the ends of the earth. But Cohen stopped the intimidation when he realized they both wanted the same thing, for the story to be taken down. According to Davidson, in October of 2016, Cohen called him.
He says, I'm hearing rumblings out there that, you know, the press is poking around about Stormy Daniels. Do you have any information on that?
Did you at the time?
No.
So what did you say back?
I'll call you back.
But there was another interaction between Davidson and Cohen that year. It was also about Donald Trump's sexual history. Davidson represented Karen McDougal, a Playboy model who had come forward saying she had an affair with Trump in 2006 and 2007. After Trump won the Republican nomination, Davidson reportedly shepherded McDougal into a deal with the National Enquirer to tell her story for $150,000. The tabloid had a history of catch and kill, convincing sources to sign exclusive deals and then never publishing their stories, ensuring they went nowhere. This is reportedly what happened to McDougal.
I think I called him as a professional courtesy to let him know that a matter was resolved and that as a professional courtesy that it may or may not have involved his client.
Many found this suspicious, including CNN's Sarah Seidner.
Both of those deals were silenced. It just seems like an awfully strange coincidence that they both landed in your lap, don't you think?
No, not at all.
Why not?
No, I mean, I have a very active practice.
CNN noted that there were other cases that involved both Cohen and Davidson, including that of Elliot Broidy. He's a venture capitalist active in the Republican Party. The story goes that Broidy had an affair with a Playboy model, reportedly impregnating her and then encouraging her to have an abortion. In 2017, they reached a $1.6 million non-disclosure agreement. Cohen represented him. Davidson represented her. The result, again, was silence. Daniel said she had never met Davidson until Wicked Pictures sent him to her that October with a non-disclosure agreement. She was eager to sign it. She also didn't want the story to come out.
It was the first time I had met Keith Davidson, the attorney. He had the contract in the back and the trunk of his car. I literally signed it. I didn't even question. They're like, here's the amount, sign it this way. It'll never come out.
Daniel said he took a third of the hush money as a fee.
And it was $130,000.
Yes. Which I didn't get that amount. I got a weird number, like 80 some, whatever, minus. He got a big percentage.
Who got a percentage?
Keith Davidson, yeah.
Oh, okay, got it.
Part 2, the civil suits. On January 30th, 2018, 5 days after the airing of the Inside Edition interview full of non-responses, Stormy Daniels was scheduled to go on Jimmy Kimmel Live. The same PR representative from Wicked Pictures and a new mysterious man in a suit came to her hotel room. He had a statement for her to sign. The official statement of Stormy Daniels read, in part, "I am not denying the affair because I was paid hush money, as has been reported in overseas-owned tabloids. I am denying this affair because it never happened." The overseas-owned tabloid being the Wall Street Journal.
She had people with her that and a guy I didn't know, and they were like, "You're going to sign this." And I was like, "Nope." But I was by myself. I didn't even have an assistant with me in the room. And basically said that my life would be very difficult unless I cooperated.
She would stay silent about the encounter with Trump, she said, but she didn't want to lie about it.
I don't know how illegal this is to say something that's not true. I didn't have any legal representation at the time.
And so she came up with a temporary fix. She reportedly purposefully signed the statement differently from her usual signature, the one on thousands of photographs kept by fans. But she figured this couldn't go on for months. For the second time, Daniels decided that if the story of her and Trump was out there, she should be the one to tell it. She needed a lawyer. Many turned her down. Taking the case would mean stepping into a media maelstrom to represent an adult film star against the President of the United States. But Daniels found someone who savored that opportunity. Michael Avenatti was a Southern California lawyer with a knack for finding high-profile cases, many of them lucrative class action suits. Avenatti's law firm had made more than $400 million in verdicts and settlements, and he developed expensive tastes. According to a profile in Politico, he had a $13.5 million house on the water in Newport Beach, plus an apartment in a West Hollywood complex popular with celebrities. He co-owned a private jet and owned several race cars, which he used to compete on the amateur circuit. Avenatti also had a background in politics. He once worked for an opposition research firm that mainly served Democrats, digging up dirt on candidates. When Daniels hired Avenatti, she was on a feature dancing tour called Make America Horny Again. She made her entrance in a glittery pull-away tuxedo to the Steve Miller Band's 1982 hit Abracadabra, with its chorus of I Wanna Reach Out and Grab Ya. Avenatti thought she needed a media overhaul. In the Politico profile, he recalled telling her, you need to do a solid interview for free, and that's how you need to tell your story in order to push the reset button. Suburban housewives in middle America aren't going to identify with the Make America Horny Again girl. Ideally, you need to go on 60 Minutes. She did, but Avenatti mostly took over doing TV for her.
I don't understand what's so complicated about this. I don't understand why the president cannot come out and state unequivocally, did he know about the agreement? Did he know about the payment? And did he have anything to do with the payment being made?
Lawyers don't normally do talk shows.
I'm not your normal lawyer, I guess.
Well, you don't have the normal case.
Avenatti also pulled tactics like posting a photo of a CD on Twitter with the caption, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, how many words is this worth? To this day, no one is sure what was on that CD. Daniels occasionally trolled Trump as well. She guested on Saturday Night Live alongside Alec Baldwin, whose impression of Trump drew the president's ire. Several media outlets extended plus-one invitations for her to attend the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Amid an immigration crisis that had sparked widespread condemnation of Trump, she tweeted that she was visiting the U.S.-Mexico border. Daniels didn't go to either the dinner or the border. Despite often hurling insults at political foes, Trump wasn't so undisciplined about Daniels.
Did you know about the
Michael Cohen's position, which he explained in a profile in a Vanity Fair article, was that he made the payment himself without being reimbursed, and it was not for the campaign. What I did defensively for my personal client and my friend is what attorneys do for their high-profile clients. I would have done it in 2006. I would have done it in 2011. I truly care about him and the family, more than just as an employee and an attorney. He also taunted Daniels, implying he would wrangle money out of her for violating the NDA. He said, "The more I'm thinking about it, I might even take an extended vacation on her dime." Michael Avenatti then filed a trio of lawsuits on Daniels' behalf. The first tried to free her from that NDA, It argued that the contract was invalid because Daniels never received a copy signed by Trump. The second accused Trump of defamation. In April, Avenatti released a sketch, created by an artist from Daniels' description, of the man she said threatened her in 2011. On Twitter, Trump chimed in. A sketch years later about a non-existent man, a total con job, playing the fake news media for fools, but they know it. The lawsuit alleged that this, and White House statements denying the sexual encounter, defamed Daniels as a liar. Daniels later said Avenatti filed this suit without her knowledge. She found out about it on Twitter. But she sort of warmed up to the idea.
I could say to you, I think you're hideous. I think you are ugly. I think you're a jerk. And that's my opinion. I can say whatever
it's
I
not
want.
Defamation.
But if I tell you, if I say you're a thief or you're a liar, that's different. And he said in his tweet that I was lying, that I'd made it up. And I guess that is defamation. That was Avenatti's spin on it. He has a point. I still would have opted not to move forward with that lawsuit.
The third lawsuit was against Michael Cohen and Keith Davidson, claiming they colluded. It included text messages between the two in January of 2018, in which Cohen badgered Davidson to convince Daniels to go on Fox News and deny everything. Judges put these lawsuits on pause, however, when the hammer came down on Michael Cohen.
So we have breaking news just in. The New York Times just reported that the FBI today raided the offices of President Trump's longtime attorney, Michael Cohen, seizing records related to multiple topics, including on that payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels.
4.5 months later, Cohen pleaded guilty to 8 criminal charges, 5 of them tax evasion. One was for making an unreported campaign contribution at the request of a candidate for the principal purpose of influencing an election, the payment to Daniels. He quickly shifted allegiances. With the Russia probe looming, Cohen's lawyer, Lanny Davis, said that Cohen was ready to tell everything about Donald Trump that he knows.
I am ashamed that I chose to take part in concealing Mr. Trump's illicit acts rather than listening to my own conscience.
This is Cohen testifying before Congress, less than a year after calling Trump my friend in the Vanity Fair article. He did not have information pertinent to Trump and Russia.
I am ashamed because I know what Mr. Trump is. He is a racist. He is a con man. And he is a cheat.
After he pleaded guilty, Cohen filed a motion in the first Daniels lawsuit, in which he said he would not enforce the NDA. Lawyers for Trump filed a statement that he had never taken the position that he was a party to the NDA and would not take any action over it. The NDA, having utterly failed in its purpose to squash public knowledge of Trump and Daniels, was dead. Daniels settled out of court with Cohen and Davidson in the collusion lawsuit. And in October of 2018, a judge threw out the defamation suit, writing that Trump's tweet constitutes rhetorical hyperbole normally associated with politics and public discourse in the United States, and it displays an incredulous tone, suggesting that the content of his tweet was not meant to be understood as a literal statement. Daniels was ordered to pay $293,000 in legal fees to Trump, a decision she appealed through 2022, even asking the Supreme Court to consider it. They declined. The appeals process caused another $250,000 to be added. Daniels tweeted, "I will go to jail before I pay a penny." Part 3, Back in the News. On August 10th, 2018, at the Wing Ding, an annual fundraiser for the Democratic Party held in Iowa, Stormy Daniels' attorney, Michael Avenatti, teased a future presidential run, saying he was seriously considering it. But despite his ever-expanding public profile, Avenatti was broke, and he had been broke for years. He faced an ongoing feud with a former law partner who claimed he was owed $18 million in payments. His deal to buy a coffee chain had gone bust. In 2017, his law firm entered bankruptcy. Avenatti piled up fines, back taxes, and child support payments, all while he continued to drive race cars and dine at posh LA restaurants. Avenatti took as a client the coach of a youth basketball league who lost a sponsorship deal with Nike. This coach said he had evidence that Nike was paying the parents of high-performing high school athletes, lining them up for future endorsement deals. In March of 2019, Avenatti called lawyers for Nike. He told them he was planning a press conference, strategically scheduled before Nike's quarterly report to shareholders. He said he would call it off in exchange for $1.5 million to his client, plus a contract in which Nike would hire Avenatti as an internal investigator. This would cost between $15 and $25 million. Avenatti reportedly said, "I'll go take $10 billion off your client's market cap. I'm not fucking around." But it would never come to be. Avenatti was arrested, and on March 25th, 2019, during the time he had scheduled for the press conference, he was being processed on extortion charges. But that wasn't all. Federal investigators found that Avenatti had habitually stolen from clients, skimming money from payments that flowed through his office, all to prevent Mr. Avenatti's financial house of cards from collapsing, in the words of the prosecuting U.S. attorney. The theft scheme included $300,000 from Stormy Daniels, taken from the advance on a tell-all book he helped her negotiate.
How on earth do you...
I don't know.
Would he think that he can get away with stealing $300,000 for a book deal from you?
Dude, his own secretary testified and said, yeah, he told me to copy and paste her signature. He forged my signature and intercepted the book payment.
At his 2022 trial, Avenatti represented himself. He sought to discredit Daniels through her new project, a self-funded ghost hunting show. She claims to have the ability to talk to the dead. She claims to have a doll who talks, plays the piano, and calls her mommy, Avenatti said. Does this sound like someone the government should be using as their star witness in a criminal case? He filed a motion to obtain her mental health records.
I don't have any mental health records. I've never sought treatment. I've never been on medication. He, wanted my pharmacy records. Congratulations. You knew that I was on birth control and had a yeast infection once.
Avenatti was found guilty. During a sentencing hearing, he submitted an email he had sent to Daniels, apologizing. "It is obvious that I failed you in many respects and that I disappointed you," he wrote. It wasn't the only apology Daniels received from an attorney rather recently. Michael Cohen also apologized to her, saying, "I'm sorry for the needless pain that I put you through, if that's how you feel, because that's how I feel." Daniels was a guest on the podcast Michael Cohen has hosted since his release from prison. They tried to work through outstanding questions like, who came up with the $130,000 figure? Cohen said, "I would like to take credit and say that I am this great negotiator when it comes to NDAs for hush money payments, but it wasn't me. I'm not the one who came up with the money. It was your attorney that came up with the money." Daniels said, "Such a strange number. I never understood it." Cohen said, "Neither did I." Daniels said she has received death threats. She always traveled with two bodyguards until the pandemic allowed her to wear a mask inconspicuously. She is also in a custody battle with her now ex-husband, who has cited the publicity of what happened. Cohen asked her how she would rate her life at this moment. She said, it's hard to put a number on it because I'll just be completely brutally honest. In some ways, it's amazing. It's a lot better. I'm not going to lie and say that everything was horrible because that's dishonest. Because of the situation, I'm not going to lie, I got to become a best-selling author. I got to go to places that I would never get to go. I got to travel across the world. I got to meet really cool people. I got to go to fancy things. I'm not going to say that every day was terrible because those things are fun. That's just me being honest. But overall, if I could just wave a magic wand and make everything go back to the way it was before, I would absolutely do that. In case you missed it, Stormy Daniels is back in the news again as of April 2023. And that's because former President Donald Trump was officially indicted and has pleaded not guilty to 34 counts of falsifying business records. According to the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, they say Trump used his reimbursements for the hush money payments as part of a scheme to suppress the affair allegations. And just as I was recording this episode, another lawsuit connected to this case popped up. Donald Trump has now filed a $500 million lawsuit against Michael Cohen, saying he violated attorney-client privilege and spread lies for profit. Cohen's attorney has called the lawsuit frivolous. And that's all for this episode. This episode was researched by Nicole Gusmerati, written by Nick Kepler, and edited by me, Jillian Jalali. Original music, scoring, and editing by Corey Hiltman. If you like Civil, make sure to subscribe and share with your friends. And if you haven't yet checked out Court Junkie, my other podcast that examines criminal trials, please subscribe to that one too. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.
I'm Jamie Beebe.
And I'm Jake Deptula. We're the host of the Strictly Stalking podcast.
Strictly Stalking is a true crime podcast that explores stalking stories told by the survivors in their own words.
Join us every Tuesday as we interview survivors, advocates, and experts to give you a deep dive into the workings of a stalking case.
Would you know where to turn if you or someone you know is being stalked? We'll also give you the resources to fight back, know your rights, and get justice.
Find Strictly Stalking wherever you listen to podcasts, from Podcast One.